What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various events and issues that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. The struggle between technology and jobs has been going on for centuries. The U.S. Census Bureau projects that robots will take over 5 million jobs by 2020. Robotics is a rapidly growing field. As technologies advance, research, design, and building new robots serve various practical purposes today. President Obama called for a $3 billion investment in STEM education. The acronym STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics. Robotics is that branch of technology that deals with design, construction, operation, structural disposition, and manufacture of robots. Robotics deals with technology involving automated machines that can take the place of humans in various situations. Mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, and computer science address the design, construction, operation, and application of robotics. Computer systems are used in control, sensory feedback, and information processing. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me at the roundtable, I welcome students from Florida High. Always glad to have them. Harley Ramba, he is into golf, politics, and SGA. He is a sophomore at Florida High.
Great to be here.
Glad to have you. Cassidy Bond, ninth grade, cheerleading, social media, and science are her thing.
Hey.
Glad to have you. I'm Mary Mac Krause. Mary Mac, I'm always glad to have you. You're going to take your sister's place, SGA, art, and math.
Glad to be here.
Well, as we talk about robotics and drones, and I would like you to kind of share and think about the automated machines that you encounter all the time, you know, the ones that may already have really taken the place of humans. Because we take it for granted, you know, before we started the program we were just talking about, we take them for granted. But can you share some that, you know, you take for granted, just so we can get started with? Because I think people, the reason I want us to do that is because I think we don't really even think about it. Yeah. We just do it automatically. But they have already taken someone's job, okay?
Well, you have ATMs instead of bank tellers, and you have the self-checkout at, like, Walmart and Target to where you don't have to have the cashier person checking out for you. You can do it by yourself. You have people even making machines and putting the parts together instead of engineers. So, I mean, those are the ones who come off the top of my head right now.
But. Okay. All right. You think of any other ones?
Like Cassidy said, the bank tellers, there's a bank next to my church, and they just fired, like, all their tellers, or they don't have tellers anymore, and replaced them with all ATMs so they can be open, like, 24/7. And it's just crazy to think about how technology is taking over, like, everything these days.
It is. It is. And what is really crazy is what's going to happen. I mean, to these folks, these were jobs. These were viable jobs, but we'll get back. What about you? What do you think?
From a business standpoint, this is a viable option because you're paying for, like, $5 your electricity bill or however much it is to run these machines instead of, like, paying minimum wage at the minimum for someone to work there. Another big one that I've, like, realized is, like, logarithms. People – that started a while ago is machines being able to, like, calculate the logarithms instead of having, like, mathematicians do it. So all of your taxes and everything is calculated through a computer instead of you doing it or having, like, someone do it.
I don't know about you, but are you ever concerned about errors?
Yeah. There's computer error and human error.
I mean, I've even seen, like, cars on Google, and they're self-driving cars, and they're supposed to drive people who are elderly who can't drive anymore, and that scares me because what if the car malfunctions and go off the route and then causes a car accident and collision? So you, I mean,
that's
you
a good
never
point.
Know.
You know, they have trolleys that drive themselves. I mean, when you think about it,
There are so many.
Yeah.
If you think about it, those are on guided pathways.
Yeah, they are on guided pathways. I thought about that. Yeah. They are on guided pathways. But what about some kid running across that you and, you know, I mean, I know they have that kind of technology to determine, but, you know,
The thing about the self-driving cars is they have, like, sensors around them to, like, detect if something happens. But, yes, there is always something. There always something can always go wrong.
Always an if.
Is it enough to deter you? I mean, are you conscious or aware?
I'd ride in a self-driving car just to be able to be in one. I'd be like,
just to see what it's like.
This is cool.
It'd be cool for, like, maybe a one-time thing, but I don't think I would want to have, like, just a self-driving car for, like, my everyday car.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably get a little nervous.
I would like to have it where I could I assume that you can switch between self-driving and, like, manual because, like, you know, sometimes you want to drive. Sometimes you just want to drive. And there's other times it's just like, hey, I don't want to drive. You can just take me. Take me to Walmart or, like, take me to Chipotle. It's like priorities. Do I want to drive or do I not want to drive?
How are you feeling at the time?
I face that question every morning when I wake up. Do I want to drive to school? I have to.
So you don't have a choice.
Don't have a choice.
What about you? What do you think, Kat?
I mean, it is scary because people are losing their jobs, and we already know there's, like with the election, already people, the main focus was to get people their jobs back.
Mm-hmm.
So then with the machines taking our jobs, then that's more people, you know, with their jobs losing into more poverty. I mean, I would like to assume that because you're not making your own money because you're out of a job. So it is a big problem, but it's also helping us progress and advance for the future, you know what I mean?
Like,
it's also furthering us like we're advancing technology-wise. So we're growing there, but human-wise we're not. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. I know. Because, you know, it's sort of like a catch-22. It's a double-edged sword. Yes, we're making a lot of progress, and this progress is super, and everybody loves it. You know what I mean? It's interesting, and it's invigorating, and you want to get into it. But on the other side, a lot of people, like you mentioned, at that bank, I mean, the whole bank closed down. Okay, that was here in Tallahassee, right? You know, I mean, real. So the whole bank closed down. So I don't even know how many people were employed there. But all of them lost their job to technology. That is the part that is you know, really raises some concern. And when you read up on it, you know, that's what folks are saying, you know, about how, what do we do? How do we address, you know, that particular component of it? I had read nearly 70% of low-skilled professions are at risk by being replaced for being replaced with technology in the next two decades. You know, what are your concerns there? I mean, are there concerns? I mean, because so often, you know, we get ourselves into a bubble and we look and we think, well, that's them. That's those people. But it's going to have an impact on those who are educated and those who do have good jobs. It's the same kind of thing with health care. You know, they won't, don't want everybody to have health care. Okay, so certain people don't have health care. What do? They end up using the emergency room
and
in the wrong way. And then we still
have to pay for it.
Right.
And then so one of the big things that I was thinking about is I've realized at McDonald's, this is just like large population of a workforce and like low pay jobs. So you don't have to be very skilled to work at McDonald's. I'm not throwing shade at McDonald's or anything, but like it's McDonald's.
I mean, that's just
it's not wrong.
Reality. Yeah. That's reality.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I've realized recently that they've added like multiple screens like where you can order and they'll send it to the computer. And so if McDonald's adapts or transfers from manual labor to machine labor, there's a lot of McDonald's in the world, United States, Tallahassee.
Right.
Oh. Depends on the scale you're looking at, but there's a lot of McDonald's. And if you say there is five people working at each McDonald's at a cash register and there's 20 of them, that's 100 people out of the job just like in this region.
Exactly. I mean, how many McDonald's are in Tallahassee?
A lot.
A lot.
A lot.
Too many to count.
Yeah. Every corner, yeah. Basically.
Right. Yeah,
they're pretty convenient, though.
Yeah.
They have some great fries.
Yeah.
Shout out to McDonald's. They got some great fries.
That's true.
But, and Steak and Shake.
Yeah.
Steak and Shake. Yeah. Fries.
Are you hungry?
Yes. I'm getting Newberry after this.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to them, too.
All right. But again, it's back to, so what does that say about society and economy if we're going to have that many people going into the unemployment line?
I mean, in that case, you just need to – I'm not saying, like, just, like, suck it up and go find another job, but, like, kind of have to. You're not just going to sit there unemployed.
I mean, well, look at it this way. Everyone who lost their job is trying to find another job, so a lot of jobs are going to be taken anyways.
That's the point.
I mean, it's hard to find a job today, even with the few machines that are taking over our society. So imagine it in 2 decades when we're more advanced, so we have more machines and more jobs lost. It's going to be harder to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at it, there will be also more job opportunities with new technology.
Yes,
yeah.
But that's an operative word you put in
there. And more skilled.
That's the key, see? And that's the key. And
skilled workers.
The skilled workers. Because it's the unskilled that are, you know, the first to go. I mean, an Oxford study said the chances of robots replacing telemarketers was 99%, okay? Mail carriers, 68%. Financial analysts, 23%. And
mail.
Waiters, and it said, yeah, mail carriers, 68%. And 94% waiters, okay? Now, think about that. You look all the way
across.
Does
that just go to email?
I don't know what they're
as
going to
do. Mail carriers.
Mail carriers.
I'm confused as.
Well,
you know the drones.
Yeah. But like,
I'm thinking of postal mail.
Yeah.
Carrier.
That's what I'm saying. But like,
right.
How do they have them do that? Is it like. Because you know they have the cars.
Yeah, they have like the little car. Well, they have the little. Have you seen the little automated boxes like little cars that deliver things in offices?
Negative.
I haven't seen those.
Negative.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have those. So yeah. I would picture them just, you know, elaborating.
Increasing the size.
That's right. I don't know.
I mean, you could do a version of a self-driving car and then have it do that, but you'd have to also have like a robotic arm and they're transferring mail and it would have to be in a filtered system and that's just too much work.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and I'm talking with dynamic students from Florida High, and we are looking at the impact of technology on today's society. We're going to take a break. What's the 411? I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I have some students here joining me at the table. Mary McCrouse, Cassidy Bond, Harley Ramba. We are looking at the impact of technology on humans, you know, wiping out their jobs. So are any of you into the STEM areas?
I love science. I'm taking 2 right now. I love science.
Okay.
I Harley, I really like science. I want to be a pediatrician when I grow up. So obviously science is a big part of that. So.
Okay.
You
don't have to if you don't.
I like math. I've always loved math.
So you're still in the STEM program.
My favorite subject. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
How much are the STEM programs encouraged at your school? I mean, is a lot.
We just recently added this. We call it STEAM. It's a STEAM day. It's it's the science, technology, engineering, arts, and math.
They
added the arts to it, and so that has encouraged like opening different fields of studies for.
That's cool.
I kind of enjoy it, but it's like really hot when it's out there, and it's just like there's not enough to do for like 2.5 hours that they have us out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a giant field with a bunch of people there, but there are some really cool things there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like Harley was saying, we just recently had it, and different people from around the city and stuff come in, and there's like these robots and 3D cameras, and it's just crazy on what they have and what they show you, because it really opens your mind and like makes you think about other things that you can do. So
right,
yeah.
Have you been exposed to it too?
Yeah, like with STEAM Day, when you think of STEAM, you just think of like science, scientists, mm-hmm. and engineering, like a engineer. But they show you so many things that you could use with math and with science, because you know you hear the expression like you're never going to use this outside of high school,
right? Yeah.
And so you see all these booths and you see what they do, and it really blows your mind. Like, wow, like I can do this in Tallahassee. Like, the stuff at Tallahassee that you think are going on, you don't mm-hmm. think of the jobs behind it. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't think all the stuff got here. And so when you see the booths and how they got there, it really makes you inspired in how to do it. And they mainly focus on the little kids. I know they do it the whole day, and they have people come to their classroom because they don't know what they want to do yet.
Mm-hmm.
But the short time we get there, you do see some cool booths.
Okay. Well, you know, we often hear and read about how the U.S. is lagging in STEM. I mean, we hear so much. The United States are lagging in STEM. I mean, other countries are just soaring ahead. What's your take on that?
We're lagging in education.
Okay. Come on. Elaborate.
We are far behind the learning curve of other European countries, like Norway, Denmark, UK. We are far behind them in educational standards. And leading to that, higher education means higher like opportunity and mm-hmm. higher jobs, and thus further leading in higher paychecks, if and then. And that can even lead to making the discovery of new technologies and new ideas.
A whole new skills society. Mm-hmm. But why do you think we're lagging? I mean, what is it? We're supposed to be the good, you know. Trump is going to make us great again. We're supposed to be, you know, the head of everything. I mean, to let us tell it.
Yeah.
Mary Mack and I were talking about this in class because we were talking about the robots and mm-hmm. taking our jobs. And we noticed that there's a decrease in people who wanted to do engineering. That's why there's so many robots.
Mm-hmm.
And the main reason was because we're lazy. A lot of people don't think that they can do it. They think you have to be very smart in the math region to know how to engineer. And when it comes down to it, we were looking at this video, and there are people who took a program over the summer, and they were engineers. And it came to them like that. So I honestly just think it's people, they're too scared. Like, you know how the millennials?
Yeah. Millennials.
They're not doing as much sophisticated jobs. They're doing, you know, more of the fun jobs instead of the real jobs. Mm-hmm. And so they're really scared and lazy. That's what I think.
Well, if that is the case, then what are we doing wrong? I mean, why are they scared and lazy? I mean, it seems like if that's the case, then there's some kind of breakdown in the whole education program that would address that.
I think it's because in school systems, you're either working really hard or not working at all. There's a little bit of an in-between, but I think it's virtually none. There's those people who take the hard classes and challenge them themselves and try to make something of it, or people who don't. And looking at like the ratio of people who do and people who don't, there's more people who don't because they're lazy. They don't want to do it.
Okay. And you all keep using that word lazy. So, and you're shaking your head, man. Like, you really think, I mean, is that just the case? I mean,
looking at our school, it just seems like there's more like regular classes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like,
okay.
There's not.
Okay.
Like, we have some AP classes, okay. But like, it's just, yeah, the challenging yourself and pushing yourself to be better.
I have a twin sister, and she takes regular classes, and I take all advanced and AP. And her excuse is she doesn't think she can do it. She doesn't think she's smart enough. But, and my little sister too, she doesn't think she's smart enough. But they just need to push themselves. Like, that's how I was. I didn't mm-hmm. think I would be smart enough to take all these advanced classes. But you just need to push yourself. Like, it's so, because you're learning, you know. So mm-hmm. obviously you don't know what's going to be happening. You're going to learn upon the way. So that's what they think. They don't think they can be put up for the challenge and all the work. But if you understand it, then it's going to be easy.
Well, then what can, in your opinion now, if that's the case, what can parents and teachers and administrators or whoever do to change their self-perception? You know, I'm just trying to get an idea from you. If that's what's gone wrong, then how can we, you know, intervene? What can we do as adults who interact with, you know, students all the time? And you're talking about students who clearly have the ability. They just don't have the self-confidence is what I hear you say.
Self-motivation is, like the word says, it's self-motivation. If you don't want to do something, you're not going to do it. no matter if I don't want to go do something, and I don't care about who
but
tells
it's
me
a
to
difference
it,
between not wanting to do it and not believing you can do it. They may want to do it, but they're saying,
why not try?
Yeah, that's easy to say.
They're afraid of failing.
That's it.
Might just be your personality. Like, if you don't think you can do it, that's just going to be your mindset. And if that's been your mindset for 6 years, that's just it's learned helplessness. Like, you're not going to be able to get out of it.
You think you can do it.
But, like, me, on the other hand, my sisters, they've, like, gone to university, Fraley. She has, like, a 4.6 GPA. Like, she's crazy smart. Mm-hmm. So just seeing that and seeing what she can accomplish just, like, kind of pushes me. And we're in the same AP class, and it's really hard. And sometimes I don't want to try. Sometimes I don't want to do the work. But just knowing that I'm in it and that I can makes me just want to push get through it.
What I hear you saying then, Mary Mac, is that having someone that you can model or that emulate, you know, that has something, because you're saying Fraley serves as that model for you. Mm-hmm. So having someone that, you know, that you can look and say, see, and go, ooh, you know, I can do it. If she can do it, if he can do it, then I can accomplish that.
Yeah, and it's just scary, because if there's so many people just wanting to be lazy now, then they're going to, like, if they have children, their children are just going to see them being strive
also
for that challenge and push themselves.
Also, if they're lazy, they're not going to want to, they just kind of want to do the bare minimum of college. They're not going to want to further their degree to go to the bachelor's and master's and doctors. They're just going to want to stay the 4 years they have to do and not do anymore and try to find a job out of that, which you can, obviously, but you think about it, 10 years ago, there were people who were wanting to get their bachelor's and master's to make a, you know, higher up job. And so if they're just going to want to do the 4 years because they just want to get it over with and start life, then
let's see what, and you're
or
right.
If they go to college or if they go to college.
What we're seeing now, though, is that going to college, even though it's not for everyone, and I don't think everyone should have to go to college, but advancing one's educational level, put it that way, whatever route you take, is very important. Yet we are finding that people are not doing it. You know, they don't. And I know we've digressed because we were talking about technology, but this all goes hand in hand, because what we have said in talking about technology to this point is that the unskilled are the ones who are going to be left
to
out.
Suffer.
And so consequently, we're going to have to find ways to encourage and support them and you know, also provide them with other options.
Yeah.
Well, you do see, like, once every 6 months, they make us do a programming trial, and they're really enforcing it on the younger kids. I think they made a whole class about coding. And so that's one way how they're enforcing it. But I also think it's another with encouraging them and giving them the right mindset and also giving them another possibility to do besides just this job you should focus on doing. There's different branches of this job that would be good for your personality and mindset. Just encouraging them and also putting in STEAM when they're younger and making it in fun ways like coding, then that's going to help them.
Yeah. And I do think it's like the motivation and like wanting to do it. And we need to, I feel like we need to learn more, not just like sit back, but push ourselves and like learn how to learn how to make jobs out of these robots and technologies. And if there's going to be more technology, we need to learn how to get behind it. And we all need to be more advanced to make jobs out of this.
Right.
Technology.
Because, well, historically, technologically advanced advances have created more jobs than they have eliminated. But the thing today is that the sophisticated automation, you know, we're talking about driverless cars and the robots, we're finding that there are less jobs. Okay, they're not creating, they're creating more, and there are less jobs that are left. Whereas before it was the opposite. They were creating a lot, but there were still jobs. Now we're wiping out, and what do we do about this? I mean, and I know I'm coming back to that, but that's going to be a real concern for you all, okay? Maybe not for mine. But for you all, it's definitely going to be. Now, maybe not you individually. No, obviously not. I'm talking to the choir. But for others in your world that you're going to have to interact with, it is going to be a major problem. What do we do about this, okay? I mean, and I don't know that you have that, but it's just, you know, something that's going to be a real challenge. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to think about, like, that all these robots and things are taking over. Mm-hmm. Like you said, something in 2020 at the beginning that there's going to be
right.
a lot less jobs.
I'll
and that's when we graduate, and we're going to need a job to support us
right.
through
yeah.
college.
Right.
So it's going to be scary to see how much, mm-hmm. how many mm-hmm. more jobs are gone, like, in our time of need.
I mean, when you're asking the question, what can we do, I don't know, and that's also what's scary, because I don't know what's going to happen in 5 years from now, and I don't know how our society is going to look, because, I mean, we're talking about this in class again, a robot took a job of 12 people and did it in twice the time, and only one person needed to know how to operate that robot. And that's, like, terrifying, because we're going to need a job, so what's going to happen to us then?
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know the answers. I don't
know
what's going to happen.
No, I know you don't. Yeah.
And I can't even think of an idea of how to solve it. So that is...
Well, let's look at it from another perspective. What do you see as the disadvantages of the technological advancement? Okay. What do you see as? I'll tell you what some of them are. But one of the things that robots are very, very poor at is problem solving. Okay? They don't do that very well. They're also really poor at reading emotions.
Yeah.
They're poor
at
critical thinking. Well, some emotions they can. They are now getting some of them, the basic kinds of things. Critical thinking and creativity. Okay? And those are the ones we've been talking about. Those are poor at. So there've got to be some disadvantages there as opposed to some of the advantages. And I think, Cassidy, you identified some of the advantages. They can work faster. They're much more efficient. They're cheaper. They took the job of 12 people. They don't cost nearly that much.
And you don't have to pay for their working hours.
Yeah.
All you got to do is pay
for
your electrical bill.
Right.
Yeah,
they
it's like a single fee. It's not like a teacher or something.
They don't get sick.
That's like...
Yes.
You have to
they don't take vacation.
Yeah. They're always there.
They're always there.
The robot we were looking at, like, it's 24/7. There's no off button on it, and it costs $5
for
one day.
Mm-hmm. Off, mm-hmm.
If you have a worker working 24/7, it's definitely not going to be
$5. Not. I mean, it's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
It's frightening. You know, what are you going to do? And it's frightening for a certain group of folks, okay? Another thing about robots that we haven't talked about is how they can be used. Some of the advantages is that they can be used in dangerous situations. You know, the police use robots, to go into maybe something.
And like bomb diffusions.
Mm-hmm. Right,
different
right.
ones, like read for different chemicals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also they can be used in battle,
mm-hmm.
And if you look at it that way, a lot more lives are saved
mm-hmm.
because they're going to check out bombs. If you have a whole group of men go in, say 12, then that could be...
Bomb teams are only one.
Oh, well, I mean, that's still one life saved.
But. Yeah, well, and then that leads us into, and we'll talk about this shortly. We'll be taking a break, but when we come back, we're really going to talk about... It leads us into drones. Because
drones are cool.
You were talking about being in warfare, but a drone can go in and kill one person in a house and leave all the rest of them alone.
Those UAV things that they put up, it's like the little little self-driving airplanes, and they go over and they invent and then they can go and determine how many like enemies are down there, because they'll just like calculate it, and I'll be like, bam, and it's like back at the place instead of someone going there and having to come back and tell them how many people are there. And you might not even get everyone. But, I mean, there's also human error and electronic error. So you're always going to miss, like, one person. But you can get a rough estimate.
Well, that's just one life. One life.
You get a rough estimate. You get a rough estimate of how many people are there or how many people you're going against. And to that point, you can – like, there the Cuban Missile Crisis, when they had the UAV things, they could determine how many missiles they had there and all that stuff.
Yeah. But there are some negatives associated with that, okay?
Yeah.
So where do we go from here? I mean, that's really the issue. You know, what do we do? How do we address this? And I think we continue to go back to the unskilled worker.
Yeah.
That's the key.
If you're not skilled, go to the Army.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
well, you know, I don't want to be blunt or anything, but like, if you don't have a job, go to the Army.
Yeah, well, you know, the Army.
China still has the largest standing army in the world.
Yeah.
Well, stronger,
armed but. Services, their criteria has changed too over the years.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, it's not
kind
that simple.
The Army, but like.
Yeah. You can't, you know, Army used to be a real option. Grandma. But is it an option now? Yeah. I mean, because the criteria has changed. I mean, everybody just can't.
Still got to do boot camp.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Everybody cannot get in the Army. It's
just as that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to go through training.
Yeah. So where do we go? When you look at it, what do you think is the most challenging component of this? When looking at technology advancement.
Budgets.
Okay. Why you say budget?
Get them built.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, the money you will make when doing it. But you have to have an initial, like,
you
deposit.
Have you have the initial upfront kind of money to get whatever it is started. Anything.
And the resources.
Because you never know if they can malfunction after a certain amount of trials, because you can't just run three, like, this robot's okay, let's send them out into the workforce. Mm-hmm. So you never know. Like, I mean, this isn't extreme, but they could turn on us or they could blow up or something. God. I don't know.
Well, like, that's true.
Or, like, the resources of them. Like, if a certain robot requires X amount of metal and you run out of X amount of metal.
Yeah.
Or and the pollution that it can cause.
Oh, definitely.
Right.
Oh,
because that's also a
that's
big problem.
What I was waiting to see if
speaking
anybody
of, was speaking of pollution, Trump just repealed the limits for factories to be able to use.
Oh, wow. Hold your thoughts. We need to talk about that. I'm sure you'd like to have some comments. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. The struggle between technology and jobs has been going on for centuries. Think about the 18th and 19th centuries when you had the rise of factories and power-driven machines. Many factory workers began to be replaced by machines that could perform the same tasks faster and cheaper. Today, low-skilled jobs like janitor and waiters are still the ones that are most threatened by technology. Driverless cars could one day make cab drivers and bus drivers a thing of the past. How do we compete? And I think we have said that the key is education for those in the work field. Would you all like to elaborate on that? You still feel that way?
Yeah.
That is what we need to do. A lot of economists are saying that today's automation may prove to be a bigger threat to jobs than the previous decades. So we're still kind of in, you know, a catch-22. What are we going to do? And I know you can't exactly answer that, but where do we go? Where do we go? What do we do? I'm back to that again, because I'm picking your brains trying to see if you have other solutions that, you know, outside of the box. It doesn't have to be in the box, okay? When they say they're going to take over, what do you think about that? Do you think that machines will take over?
Yes.
Do you
yes.
think at some point there will be no need for humans?
I mean, it could happen. I totally believe that, but I mean, every time something, that does make sense. In the future, I believe that if machines do everything, we won't have to, like, if they are fully automated, there will be maybe 1,000 people per 10,000 people that might have to work. And then, oh, well. I'm not saying oh, well, but, like, the prices for everything could go down. And then if a result of that, everything – if we make it where we're positive, we have, like, a positive gross domestic thing, net income.
I mean,
we wouldn't need, like, a solid – no, I'm saying we wouldn't need – someone start talking because I don't know where I'm going.
That's bad.
At this point, I'm just
That's
talking.
Bad. Okay. all right. Well, in looking at this again, all of this technology, we look at transportation. We talked about driverless cars. What about the invasion of the drones? And that's what we had
talked about.
That's what we were talking about before.
You know,
these little small, I guess how would I describe them, kind of battery operated. Mm-hmm. That's basically what they are, you know, devices that have cameras on them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of those?
Drones have some positives to them. Like you said, they're battery powered, so they're not going to pollute mm-hmm. our ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's negatives to them. I saw this video and a drone, it lost connection to the remote, so it just crashed down on someone. I mean, it just crashed down, not on someone. But I'm saying it could. Those propellers that they make, they can cut you.
Mm-hmm.
They're like razor blade sharp. So there's definitely some negatives to it.
Another thing, what about is that they're used by everyone. I mean, mm-hmm. and when I say everyone, I mean from hobbyists to scientists to, you know, whomever. And that can be a problem.
One of my buddies, he does, like, kayaking, but he does, like, whitewater rafting kayaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, really cool. And so he's got a drone, but he's got it where it's programmed to follow the remote, like it. Like hovers over the remote, and when the battery gets low, he has certain checkpoints through the river where it'll stop. Like if it gets low, it'll go off the river so it doesn't like mm-hmm. go in the water, which I think is really impressive. Like the technology in that, programming is like really impressive. If you do programming, like props to you, man, because all of that. When I see all those numbers and stuff, I just look at it. I'm like, whoa, because that's not my criteria. That's not my way to go in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's impressive to me. It's just respect, mad respect.
Well, I know drones are so popular, and I'm doing some research for the program there. I read like over 20 states now are looking at laws for drones because mm-hmm. there have been a lot of problems
with
them, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, first of all, let's look at the paparazzi. Think about that. Now, we may not be bothered
invasion
with that, but invasion,
yeah.
the
of
whole
privacy.
Invasion of privacy.
A drone can just fly in your window.
It could go like
it has
in
a
your
camera,
backyard.
So
yeah.
It could, you know, look at your window.
Won't do anything. Soon you're going to have like an enclosed. Or, opening a new set of jobs, you could get like electric fences. If you open a new set of jobs.
Mm-hmm. And you see these crazy videos of drones going over New York City and going through the buildings and
mm-hmm.
going through places you know are restricted for people.
That's right.
And so they are making laws to prohibit that, but even just doing that, that's...
Ooh. Yeah. I mean, some of the laws include height. Like they want them not to go any higher than 400 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that they cannot get out of the eyesight of the operator. Okay, so that would limit also how mm-hmm. far they can go. And another one that I was reading about is that they may be used only during daylight, okay? Because mm-hmm. there have been a lot of near misses and some accidents that have been caused by the drones crashing with aircraft.
Yeah, that's what I was about to bring up. If you start trying to – my dad, he's like a pilot,
mm-hmm.
and he's heard about stories about how – people fly drones around like the airport and everything,
mm-hmm.
and people have gotten like feet away from hitting them.
Mm-hmm.
And if that hits your propeller, you're going to be doing emergency landing because that will tear up your propeller. Especially if you have a single prop propeller, that will just tear it up.
And so that is a real problem.
People are curious; they want to see like mm-hmm. how much they can test their limits, and you know that is a problem. Like Harley said, the plane could almost crash from it,
mm-hmm.
and. Oh, I was going to go with something else. I lost my train of thought.
We'll come back to you. Just hold that thought and it'll come back. What about you, Mary Mac? What do you think about these drones and you know the restrictions? Should we have restrictions on them? Do you think they will be effective? Will people follow them? They also say that folks who have drones should get licensed. They have to have a license.
Oh, yeah. I think they should have licenses.
And you're saying at night, I remember what I was going to say. You were saying at night they shouldn't fly
them.
Right.
They were...
I know it's hard to miss, but, you know, some people, they're not cautious and make mistakes. They're going to run into power lines. you're going to have a whole neighborhood without power. I mean, if it's
there are all those kind of potential prepared. Things that could happen.
So it's very dangerous. They should be equipped with it because you can buy them at Best Buy. So they shouldn't just have the random person be able to buy it. It's not a toy. It should be treated as, you know, not. I mean, it shouldn't be treated as a toy. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm.
It's probably a really fun toy to play with, though.
Definitely.
Harley, I think you need to get a drone. You're saying it longingly. Like
shout out to Dave Rambo. Buy me a drone, please.
Earlier we talked about how helpful, I guess, how effective they were in warfare. But if they make war so easy, so to speak, because they can't go in and kill one person in one room and not bother anybody else in the next
take
room.
Take facial recognitions.
Does that make it easier to fight and kill?
Doing military standpoints, yes. I feel like it reduces civilian deaths, but, I mean, civilians are going to die. It's war. What war have you heard over civilians don't die?
Right. That's true. You got a good point.
So when you see all this, like, head news, like, 100 Syrians killed by U.S. bombing, well, they didn't, like, program the three ISIS general killed in U.S. bombing either. Mm-hmm. The thing about social media and, like, programming networks is they always focus on the negatives. Why can't we be happy sometimes? Like, they always focus on, like, I swear, if, like, say in school you get 5 A's and a B.
They're going to focus be looking on that B.
They're going to look. That's what I had this side weeks. I had 6 A's and a B. My dad said, why'd you get that B? I said, well, what happened was.
But as we look at drones, even in warfare, do you think they make it easier to kill?
Yes.
Because you aren't there, number one. And so you aren't really dealing you don't come back with PTSD, you know?
And you're risking.
Right. You're not risking your life and you're not there. I mean, you're not touching that individual. Lots of times that's what's going on, you know, when you're in warfare. You're at a distance. So do you feel it makes it easier to fight? And it lessens, you know, one's sensitivity to life, even.
Yeah. Definitely, because when you're face-to-face with someone, you're thinking about their family and you're thinking about their emotions. You could see the light go out in their eyes. Mm-hmm. But when you're with a drone, it just says, mission completed. And you're just like, okay, great. I did my job for the day. Let's go. So it does make it makes us, I wouldn't, like, less caring. You know what I mean? It makes us put up a front that we're not going to care about the other people. I mean, that's how it should be in war. You should look at them as the enemy and not, this is going to sound bad, but not as a person.
Mm-hmm. And I knew exactly what you were about to say because I was thinking the same exact thing.
Do you think they encourage war? Yes. And by that, because you do have the drone, that you may not have second thoughts.
I mean, there already are.
About losing so many, you know, in the.
There already are thousands of drones used in battle for, like, bombings. And a lot of them are self-programmed.
You can look at, like, technology advancements as weapons, too. You could look at a pistol compared to a cannon. Not a cannon. But, like, oh, my gosh. You can look at a pistol and then, like a gun ball that can do 35 rounds. Okay. I don't know. Guns. I don't know.
AR-15.
Yeah. But you could. So compared to a gun that can just shoot one bullet, like, that's still an advancement, so it's still making it harsher and making it easier to kill. So you can look at it like that if drones are too hard for you to look at. But I don't know where I was going with that.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this then. As we look at these drones, what about drones who are used with law enforcement?
I believe it should be used with law enforcement.
You do believe they should?
I do believe. Okay. Yes, why? I should. Because it helps, like, for different – if you're trying to, like example. If you're trying to crack, like, a drug case and they are hidden out in a factory and say all other squads are doing something else, so you only have one squad.
Okay.
If you send a drone and it, like, secures a perimeter, you can just kind of circle it around the building, check out how many doors and entranceways there can be and how many – like, if you do – like, enter the building, how many ways that they could leave. Because when you're, like, trying to break into a building, you kind of want multiple people with you. You don't want to try to break in by yourself. Because then if there's, like, say 20 guys inside and there's like six police officers, but the six police officers are highly trained.
Okay. What about opponents of that would say, what about mass surveillance where this drone is surveilling everyone?
I'd be fine. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say I'd be fine
with that. Well, because it gets all into that privacy
If it's in a public area, yes, I think it should be fine. If it's on public property.
But when police survey, it's a little bit different.
Well, what Harley was talking about, if they're trying to catch a criminal.
If they're looking
for someone. I think that's a totally different case than someone using a drone to look into like a famous person's backyard.
Yeah.
Not even a famous person, just trying to look into
someone's
window.
Anyone,
look at
really.
Anybody's backyard. Yeah, but, well, see, you're talking about search and rescue and that kind of situation. Lots of times when police do that, they have a warrant to do that kind of stuff. Now, we're not talking about them having warrants to use these. We're
saying, hey, let's go fly a drone over Tom Brown Park and look. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have the intent to do – if you have the intent for evil, you're going to do something bad. But, like, if you're just, like, doing it just to do it, I mean, I feel like if you're doing – if you're, like, a policeman and you're like, hey, I'm going to go fly a drone over a public plaza, I mean, you don't have, like, a reason to do it. You're just doing it.
But the issue – is also privacy. Now, how would you feel if your privacy was invaded? A good way to look at this is to empathize and put yourself in it. It's easy for us to say, well, you know, they're just flying over. But let's say you don't have to be doing anything illegal or anything, but just have your privacy invaded.
Yeah.
You're going to feel attacked, invaded. Mm-hmm. Of course, it matters the circumstance. I mean, I don't know, because it's like a police coming in and asking to search you without a warrant and then, you know, patting you down and trying to find trying to find a weapon on you. You're going to feel invaded and you're going to feel attacked. But I hope they're going to do it with good intentions, and I hope they're trying to do it to get justice. But you never know.
You can throw that out. I mean, because, you don't know. I mean, we would hope. But obviously that is not the case.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing with drones, I guess, like in my perspective right now after what we've been talking about, I feel like they are helpful for the military and can be helpful for the law force, but like maybe just like keep them just for that and not make them open to just anybody in the public to look through somebody's window or to fly over a public place and video anybody. So maybe just like... make it a harder process to get one. I can't find the word.
We
only got a couple minutes.
Oh, sorry.
Go right ahead.
I agree with you on that one. Instead of making drone flying a hobby, and I get it's a big hobby, one growing fast.
I'd be a hobby.
Yes, but I would say limit it to like a certain amount of people. And of course, like there's the videographers who are using it for their movies and the profession, and that's fine, but they got to have warrants. They got to have restrictions on where to film. They can't film in a neighborhood I guess they could, but they can't film in a neighborhood where they can fly fly in public places. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, and making it a hobby, we also already said that we want people to have license. So that's going to limit that. And I'm not saying that in a negative sense, but that's going to limit those who can engage in that hobby. Mm-hmm. So they have to be a certain age.
Yeah.
Because I think we've seen people with drones as young as 9, 10 years old.
Oh, yeah.
I saw one last week.
But they're not as high-tech drones. There's like the super – there's like different levels of the drones. They're just like, hey, one drone.
Mm-hmm.
There's like big old drones and then like $16 drones at CVS.
Depends on like the rotations per minute that the blade's doing. That's how much weight that it can carry and how fast it can go. And that goes into a whole different subject of like velocity.
Well, we'll have to have you come back and we'll have to talk about that. Okay. You have been listening to 411 Teen. And again, I'd like to thank students from Florida High. I had Harley Ramba, Cassidy Bond, and Mary Mac Krause. I'm always glad to have you and appreciate you coming and sharing your opinions and your thoughts. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen. We are out of time. To my listening audience, much appreciation for the privilege of your ear. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.